Sam, I've been complaining about the weather in Chicago because it's just been kind of cloudy and cool, misty, foggy, rainy. What's it like in Boston today?
Let's see. I haven't stepped outside yet, full disclosure, but according to my thermometer on my cell phone, it is 57 degrees.
You got a little bit better than we got here. So did you see with the White Sox game and Tony La Russa's management of the team in late innings, extra innings?
Management is an interesting word, isn't it? Because I would argue it was everything but. I lost my lunch when I saw the closer, Liam Hendricks, heading out to second base in extra innings. Because, of course, in baseball, now starting last year, if you get to extra innings, the team that's batting starts with a runner on second base. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, why is the pitcher running out to second base? I said, that doesn't make sense. We would later find out that Tony La Russa didn't know the rule that he could have used Jose Abreu instead of Liam Hendricks, which technically cost them a run. They had runners on second and first, nobody out. They failed to move the pitcher in to score, and then he tried to steal second base. Guy got thrown out. The other guy struck out. Like, they had first and second, nobody out, and didn't score a run because Tony La Russa didn't know the rule, and he also mismanaged the inning. And this is probably the fourth or fifth time where he's cost them a game. And I know some people think managers don't matter. They didn't score any runs. They only had two hits. Okay, that's all true, but he also cost them the game. All of these things are true.
I don't know that it's clear that Abreu would have scored from second where the pitcher did not. Don't you think the bigger mistake in that game was Lourdes Garcia trying to steal second base? I mean, sure, let's get him on, get him over, get him in, but you only need one run. And I was more puzzled by that. I think Tony's taking, I know he didn't know the rule. Did anybody on that team know the rule, Sam?
Chuck Garfine is the studio host for the White Sox on NBC Sports Chicago, and he is very, very careful when he critiques the baseball team.
Sure.
For obvious reasons.
Yeah.
Well, he tweeted last night, Sox coaching staff should have been prepared for the situation. They weren't, period.
No. Well, did you know that rule? And again, I suppose it's fair to not know the rule because we're not managers of Major League Baseball teams. But
I knew the rule. Full disclosure, I knew that he had another option. I knew he didn't need to have the pitcher running the bases.
I did not know that. Of course, do you like, by the way, because the Cubs went through this last night, do you like putting a runner on second in the 10th inning?
I don't like it. I really don't. I think it changes the whole theater of the game. I know it implies some strategy. You know, some managers think of it this way. Like, all right, we have a runner at second. Should you bunt, move the runner to third and take the out, or should you hit away? I mean, the strategy opens up a lot of avenues for a lot of different things, but I don't like it personally. And I'll tell you what, I think a lot of these closers – take a Liam Hendricks, for example. I had a conversation the other day with a buddy of mine. He sucks. He's always giving up runs. I'm like, well, half the time he's out there, they put a runner on second.
With no outs.
So it's not like it used to be. And, you know, I don't know that we don't have data on this going back all that far. I wonder if it affects the psyche of a lockdown closer. Like, I know they're paid a lot of money to get guys out, but nobody before the year 2020 had to come into a pressure situation with a runner that you didn't put on base. It's wild.
It does make their job that much more important, and I take your point that it's different now. I'm still surprised that teams don't bunt that run in. Bunt them to third, bunt them home. Last night, the Dodgers had the bases loaded, and they could have bunted in a run or two. They didn't do that. I would take the run, and I know that, you know, that's a gamble if you're batting in the top half of the inning, but that's just me. I'm surprised sometimes because sometimes teams then leave the field not having scored in their half of the extra inning, and I'm thinking you could have just manufactured a run. I'm not sure guys bunt well enough to guarantee what I'm talking about, but I'm surprised how often they don't try and put it in play.
Well, how about this? Small ball has really been phased out.
Yep.
We've known that over the last decade. I saw this stat the other day. You know, I love the numbers. After the first month of the regular season, the batters had 1,000 more strikeouts than they had hits.
Hold on. I got to hear what you just said again. Say that one more time.
After the hitters through 1 month of the season had 1,000 more strikeouts than they had hits.
So, and I don't know how far back the research on that goes. Is that Is that a new trend? Is that
that has never happened. That has never happened. 1,000 more strikeouts at the plate in 1 month. The launch angle has changed the game. We have more home runs, and we got guys that can hit home runs, but the concept of putting the ball in play is going extinct.
Give me a Mark Grace. Give me a Mark Grace who'll just put it in the gap and run around the bases. You know, he wasn't a home run hitter. He was a doubles guy. That was more fun to watch if you just want to see guys moving around. Don't you think?
I think you just like the guy that didn't wear batting gloves and used to be fun off the field. I think that's why you brought Gracie up.
Wait a minute. Grace hit... He hit a lot of doubles, didn't he? He was not a home run hitter. He was more of an on-base guy, wasn't he?
Oh, he certainly was, but I'm saying he also never wore batting gloves, and I've been told by many people that Gracie was more fun off the field than on the field. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, fair enough, but I'm not even talking about that. I'm just talking about what I thought you were talking about. Let's play some small ball. All right, so let's talk about the Cubs and Sox then, where they're going this season. What are the numbers saying on that? What are the smart wagerers talking about?
PointsBet still has the White Sox favored to win the division, minus 150, which implies 60% probability. I wouldn't argue with that at this point in time. You lay 150 to win 100 or lay 15 to win 10. I would still make that bet right now. Even without Robert and Eloy for a substantial amount of time, they still have the most talent, and they have the best pitching, I would think, in the American League. I mean, the pitching ERA for the team, 3.36. They have been zipping the baseball in.
Yep.
And I think that rotation is the best in the league. So I still like that bet. The Cubbies, points bet not so high on. 7-1 to win the NL Central, which implies 12.5% chance of probability. I know they just swept the champs somehow, some way. They just beat the Dodgers 3 in a row at Wrigley.
Yep.
And they're starting to hit the baseball, which they were due to regress the right way. 7-1 to the over in their last 8 games. So I think it's still a team that's going to lose more games than they win. But as you and I know, they do have firepower. Any given night, they do have the potential to hit the ball.
That's the maddening thing about the Cubs this year. Every now and then, they'll just show you why they have no business. And then they sweep the Dodgers, who aren't playing their best baseball now anyway. But that was it's kind of hard to get a read on the Cubs. Even when the Sox do badly, you know they're going to be good, especially with two of their better players down. Talk to me about the Bears and this new quarterback.
Bears, everybody excited. They have a quarterback now that is supposed to be the face of the franchise. Everybody's hopeful, and I'll tell you what, everybody in Illinois is betting Chicago every which way at points bet. We have the Bears, the win total from 7 to 7.5, so it's moved up a half a win. The Bears are now 3-1 to win the division. And Justin Fields already has the second best odds to win the Rookie of the Year. He's about 5-1 right now, just behind number one pick Trevor Lawrence, who's about plus 275. So the hype is real. Bears fans put their money where their mouth is. And we have numbers on this. I'll just give you one of them. Justin Fields, over under next year, 15.5 touchdown passes.
Do we know he's going to play? Is it guaranteed he's the starting quarterback and all of that stuff?
No. Nothing is guaranteed, especially in Chicago. I wouldn't be surprised if they started Andy Dalton for a month just to let Fields sort of get used to situations, strategy. I don't think you start him right away because that's so bad in the NFL when you bring in a kid who's 21, 22 years old and he's not ready out of the gate. Like, this is a long-term play. I think he gets 10, 12 starts.
How many touchdown passes? What do you do on that? 15.5 is the over-under on touchdown passes for this new quarterback.
He plays 10 games. Give me 2 a game. That's 20. I would go over 15.5.
Really? All right, I'll take the under just because you took the over. Teddy Greenstein's boost of the week. What is this?
Yeah, PointsBet is letting you do a cross-sport bet. This is a golf bet and a basketball bet. So they're giving you one of the golfers, Bryson DeChambeau. If he makes more birdies in round one against Steph Curry hitting three-pointers against Oklahoma City. So you're getting birdies against three-pointers made, and the golfer's 5-1. That's pretty interesting. I know Curry makes a lot of threes, but if he has an off night, you can win at 5-1. I'm interested.
Give me your big bet of the week, Sam.
Not my big bet, but we are seeing a series of bets on the Atlanta Hawks to win the NBA title. Two bettors came in, a $20,000 bet at 100-1, that would make $2 million, and then a $5,000 bet at 80-1 would make $400,000. I don't like it. I don't know who did it, but I can tell you that there's a lot of liability on the Atlanta Hawks. to win the NBA title.
Give me your bet of the week.
James Madison. We're going college football. I know you love James Madison. The Dukes are laying 1 point against Sam Houston State. I think James Madison gets it done, and I think they follow it up with a national championship win. They're in the Final Four right now. I like James Madison to win Saturday and to win the whole thing.
Do the James Madison players wear those white leggings with wooden shoes, or do they wear football cleats and athletic pants?
Yeah, they dress like Paul Revere.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Well, that's a really interesting factor when you place your bets. Sam Panionovich joins us Thursdays at this time. Sam, let's talk again next week. We appreciate your time.
Got it, King John. See ya.